Chairman. Sir.
You gave us two different cards. I hope you don't expect to have two different shots at it.
If given the opportunity, I just might. No, one card should be sufficient. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, senators and representatives, thank you so much for the opportunity to come speak here today. My name is Andy Sanborn, S-A-N-B-O-R-N. As you may expect, I sit here in opposition to these rules today. There are so many reasons why these rules should be voted down with resolution and sent back to the House and the Senate floor. I don't think we have time to express them all, and many of them do surround policy and politics.
However, I do respect
that this committee is only interested in discussing the rules as they relate specifically to 541A, and as such, I will endeavor to focus specifically on that. As I see it, there are four substantial ways by which to judge the rules, and you have the authority to reject them based upon these conflicts. The first is based upon the rules being written in a way that beyond the authority of the agency. I submit that I do not see where the legislature has given the DRA authority to create a new level of taxation. Creating new taxes is and should be the privilege to you as legislators. For example,
the rules do not create a tax.
For example,
there is a tax that
last summer the legislature
and we cannot discuss the statute.
Last summer the legislature specifically did not approve a capital gains tax. And yet it is in these rules today. And sir, I would submit to you there is a disparity in that. Additionally, under these rules, the DRA has assumed that to be able to determine a level of taxation, again, not based upon the authority of the legislature. By granting the DRA the ability to set levels and bases on their judgment as it backs into a 5% tax, creates a different level of taxation relative to the overall level of compensation that a small business owner might have. This is contrary to the intent on 541A. Mr. Blastos also indicated, and I say again, you've given the authority to the DRA into trying to institute this LLC tax based upon RSA 77, which is in the rules, but I cannot find them represented in the rules and giving statutory authority to. So if you could help us explain where they are in those rules. I see references of these taxes being tied to the IRS code. And again, there's three different codes set forth, 1986, 2000, and 2008. I do not see in these rules where the legislature has given the authority to do so. Not to mention, I ask that you consider the cost to all small businesses now having to prepare three different levels of taxes and tax returns in order to comply with these rules and comply with this law. Now, on the contrary, you actually voted to tax businesses on borrowing money from their bank. And although I do disagree with the policy on that, I do not see it addressed in this copy of the rules. It was in the rules initially and it's been removed. But unfortunately, it remains in the legislation. This is wrong based on being contrary to the intent of the legislature.
Okay, I'm taking notes. I would like to make sure again.
I understand.
A little slower. Could you repeat that one, please?
When these rules first came out, and there have been some discussions today relative to including the IND tax in borrowing money, they have now been removed from these rules, but it is still specifically within the legislation itself. So I ask for your clarification on that.
I can assure you that if it's in the statute will trump the rules.
That's my concern. Additionally, I'm asking you to reject these rules based upon them not being in the public interest.
Where would that area of a concern be in the statute right now with regard to taxing?
It's It's a disparity between what the law is requiring.
I'm asking you where it is in the law.
It was passed in HB2 under the proportion of the LLC tax.
Okay, we have that in front of us.
I apologize. I did not bring a copy of HB2 here, ma'am. I apologize.
Okay. Thank you.
Additionally, under 541A, I'm asking you to reject these rules based upon them not being in the public interest, which is one of the criteria by which you need to judge these rules. I ask that you reconsider instituting and creating new taxes during a recession and whether or not that actually is in the public interest. Or, as I can give an example to describe what part of the challenges are, if you have two identical companies operating in Nashua, New Hampshire, and one person is a New Hampshire resident, they will have to pay this tax. If one person is a Massachusetts resident, they will not. I don't believe it's in the public interest.
Senator,
please, miss. Just
for clarification, Mr. Sanborn, won't they have to pay an income tax on us?
Not to the state of New Hampshire, ma'am. Not to the state of New Hampshire, ma'am, no. New Hampshire does not have an income tax.
I'm acutely aware of that. My question is the scenario that you just painted, where somebody's, you know, making certain money from an entity in New Hampshire, don't they have to report all of that on their Massachusetts income tax?
Yes, but not in New Hampshire. So they will not have to pay a New Hampshire tax to the state of New Hampshire, ma'am.
Okay. Of course, whether policy is whether or not New Hampshire should consider other states' taxation scheme, that's definitely not part of the charge of this particular committee.
I completely agree, sir, but we're just asking that the rules be fair, and that's what our concern is. If I can direct you to page 9 of the rules themselves, third paragraph down B, last sentence.
Are you working from the conditional approval request or not?
I apologize.
And if you are, there is a copy in that box.
I think I am, because I see the same strikeouts and amendments that I read this morning.
Okay.
It says, a payment of unpaid compensation from a prior year shall not decrease accumulated profits.
Okay, this is page 9.
B.
Up top. We have to go back a couple, three pages in order to B. Which starts with reduced by the amount of compensation deduction taken by the organization under RSA 77A. Attributable to the personal services of the member, a payment of unpaid compensation from a prior year shall not decrease accumulated profits. Although, like Representative Casey, I'm not an attorney, and nor did I stay at Holiday Inn last night. If I understand this correctly, if I started a business and wanted to pay myself $50,000, but I could only pay myself $40,000, but the next year, if I was profitable enough and I could afford to pay myself $50,000, the payment of uncompensation from a prior year shall not decrease accumulated profits. I don't see that in the authority to allow this to happen in statute. So again, if I ask you to please review that specific clause, I would appreciate it. I'm asking these rules be given objection and final resolution based upon the substantial impact not recognized in the fiscal note, which we've discussed, so I will not over-belabor. The fiscal note does not provide anything, and I ask you to consider the $15 million a year this is supposed to raise, the $7 million asked by the DRA to expand their audit staff, and the tens of millions of dollars it's going to cost small business owners to comply, predicated on the three sets of financials, justifying it, and legal fees. This is going to be a very dramatic cost to us, and I feel that it needs to be rejected until it can be accurately reflected within the rules themselves, as required by the fiscal notes. When compiling these rules, the DRA met with CPAs and attorneys and pulled together, you know, in the state of New Hampshire, the only two industries which look to gain from creating these rules. And there's an obligation within those rules to address the stakeholders and ask them how they feel and give them an opportunity. And I feel this is our opportunity today, so I appreciate that.
Sir, would you clarify that statement, please? That the are you suggesting that the department did not reach out to everyone and not everyone had an opportunity to have input in these rules? Is that what I heard?
There were public hearings, absolutely, which we were allowed to give testimony. But in the testimony that the DRA has continued to give, they continue to represent, they have met with CPAs and attorneys in order to create these rules, which are exactly the people who will profit by these rules. In conclusion, there are four ways that the committee has the authority to reject these rules. I believe it has reached all four of them. And as such, I'm asking that you object these rules with resolution. Thank you very much for your time.